right. Whoa, I'm way on.
Okay.
It's great to be here. Thanks, AB, for the invitation. As you were up here talking, I said, man, I wish I hadn't accepted that. I'd rather hear him preach this morning. I was there when he came into the ministry back in many years ago, and what a glory that was in my life to meet this man and his wife, and that we worked together down in Miami for a while. It was absolutely wonderful, and he's one of my most respected evangelists around. All the Gen Xers, baby boomers know exactly what I mean. All right, it's killing us. Okay. All right, I'm back on. All right. Okay, very good. All right, well, but that was great. I have a lot of friends in this room. I'm going to mention a few of them. If I leave you out, I'm sorry. That's why I wrote Guilty Souls Guide to Grace. I feel guilty most of the time. Steve and Deb Bowen. Oh, my goodness. I'll start crying right now. What wonderful people. I'm going to play a song a little later that I wish they would sing live for us. We knew them in Atlanta and in Boston and in Miami, and so glad to be with them again. My fraternity brother, Kevin Younger, was converted. I graduated and he got converted later, but what a joy that was to see one of my fraternity brothers become a brother in Christ. Amen to that. And him and his wife being elders here. Gene Brannigan, my fellow Harley rider. Amen. And I'm leaving somebody out. I know that. Plus my niece, Lindsay, is here. Lindsay, Kay, Buck, and Lindsay, stand up. I want you all to see my family here. Okay. There they are. Buck Menendez grew up here too, and he went to Leon High. He played football. He's a fraternity brother of mine too, and he got baptized just a few years ago, right before he married Kay. Thank you, Buck. Thank you, God. Oh, whoa. Amen. I got a lot going here. What I'm about to show you is I'll tell you more about it later. It's a keynote I did out in Denver. Jerry and I did out there for a big family conference. It lasted about 3 or 4 hours, so I'll see y'all at 5:30 this afternoon. No, I deleted a lot of it, but you'll see, I'll flick right through some screens really fast because I reduced it down for you this morning. But yes, AB was right. Jerry and I are currently living in Palm Beach. That's why I got a jacket on. My blood thinned out way better. I'm freezing. We live in Palm Beach with the South Florida Church of Christ there. I'm elder there. I don't know if any of you know my brother Ken Session. He was converted in Gainesville. He's now an elder down there, so I feel like I can leave. Amen. But we're moving up to South Carolina. Three of our kids are up there. One in South Carolina, two in North Carolina. 10 of our grandchildren are up there. Our number 11 was just born in Boston. She's up there. But we're moving there to be with our kids. I'm also moving up there to step out of full-time salary in the church so I can make room for millennials and Gen Xers. Y'all come on up, brothers and sisters. Raise up. Right now I say, I'm Caleb. Give me some hill country. You go be Joshua, okay? You lead the people. Come on, young people. I want to help our generation, to encourage your generation to be all you can be without fussing at you, but helping you share what we know and God taught us through all of our victories and defeats, so you can avoid some of them, I hope. But we're excited about that. We're moving up probably in December, and we'll be there. And during that time, Jerry and I will do more traveling around the kingdom. Am I going out again? Okay. Don't know how much we'll travel, but we'll go places. We were just in Mexico last weekend. Yo no hablo mucho español, so tienen que traducirme. They had to translate me. But it was great. There were 300 disciples there from all over Mexico for a marriage workshop. And that's the kind of thing we're going to be doing. I'm also going to be writing more books. We've written, Jerry and I together and me, 11 of them. I'll be back there. I got some books back there for you. I feel guilty that I'm not a salesman. I don't want to be a salesman, but I wish I could give them away, but I got to pay my bills. But they're back there. Okay, shut up, Sam. Get to your lesson. All right, here we go. So this lesson we did out, we've preached so much, taught so much on family and on marriage, and it's one of our favorite topics. We wish Jerry were here. If she were here, you'd be looking at her, not at me. She's up in Chicago, by the way, with my daughter Elizabeth for a big women's day up in the Chicago church there, so that's where she's at. Yes, I was at my 50th high school reunion. Wow, what an experience that was. Okay, here we go. I'm going to be sharing a lot about my own family. I don't want you to know something. This is Joshua talking right before he passed on to be with God. He says, "Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." He's about to die, and he's saying, whatever God told me he was going to do in my life, he did. My daughter Elizabeth just wrote a book called When God Says Wait. Sometimes he doesn't do it just like that, but he'll do it 5, 10, 3 decades later. But nonetheless, God is faithful. And I just want you to know, I'm going to share stuff about family. God will fulfill the promises he makes you as a husband and wife, as a parent, a mom, a dad, as a kid. He'll fulfill those, and you will have amazing family if you do what he says, because God wants to bless your life. He loves you and wants you to have a wonderful family life. And so, as he said, I look at my own life. Where would I be today if Jesus had not found me and I had not been born again and become a disciple? I would have destroyed a family. I would have destroyed a woman I married. I would have destroyed myself. Only by the grace of God do I have what I have, not because I'm so wonderful or I think I'm better than other people. No, it's because God is gracious to me, a sinner. And amen. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. All right. Oh, there we are. That's us with the kids when they were young and we were young. That's all four of them. They're all four disciples. They're married to four wonderful disciples. We got 11 grandkids. There they are. All right. Whoa, come back. That's all of us right there with one or two grandkids not in the picture. That's up in South Carolina where that was made. All right, here we go. There's us with just the grandkids. That's in Tallahassee, by the way. That was made out here. Okay, there they all are. God will give you more than you ever thought. I always tell grandparents, being a grandparent is all it's cracked up to be. It's wonderful. You get to play with the kids and then hand them back over to mommy and daddy. Okay. Oh, there's number 11 right there. That's Alexander and Jesse. They're up in Boston leading the campus ministry, a part of the campus ministry up there. That's little Rosie Jane. There's number 11, granddaughter, right? All right. We're going to talk first about first things first. AB just mentioned it. You got to get the foundation right. Sometimes you don't think about a foundation when you walk in a room. I looked at all this. You know, wow, this is great. But where would it be without this? You know, you got to have the foundation before you can build the wall and the ceiling and the roof and put pictures on the wall and make it beautiful. You got to have a rock solid foundation. Let's think about that. Here we go. Most important thing we will ever do for our children, mommy and daddy. Here we go. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? They asked Jesus. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. What's the most important thing you can do for your kids? Well, love them, but you know, who do you love the most? God. God. You love God the most. Why? Because God loves you the most. No one will ever love us more, can love us more than God. He will never fail. His love is unfailing. He loved us before we were born. He loved us before we loved him. He loved us when we didn't believe. He loved us and reached out to us. He loves us, and he'll keep loving us, even though we make mistakes. Even as disciples, he said, repent, but I still love you. Come on back. Come on back home. And he'll take you back, and he won't let your life be ruined. He'll forgive you again. I said most of my big sins have been committed since I was a disciple. It was so long ago. But God has forgiven me. I try to repent. Amen. And let's go. But the most important thing parents should do for your kids is love God. They can tell if you do or you don't. I said, well, I remember my son, Jonathan. It's in the book, Raising Awesome Kids. He wrote a letter saying, my birthday, saying, Daddy, you know what means the most to me about you? Every morning I wake up and I see you out on the back porch praying to God and reading your Bible. At 10 years old, you notice that? Yes, does that tell you something? But Folks, if your kids know you love God and they know He's real to you, it's going to change their lives forever, because they know this isn't, church is wonderful. I love coming to church, but it's not just, we're not just church members. You love God. You have a relationship with a living being. You see what I'm saying? Now, we go to church because of that. But it's not just horizontal, it's vertical. It's about God. To start there. Okay, am I coming back in? The technology demons follow me everywhere I go. They started in the 60s, and I once was preaching a sermon, and every time I raised my voice, the lights would go down. Get out, demon. Get out. Get behind me, Satan. All right. Okay. All right. So, you want to bless the life of your kids? Let them know mommy and daddy love God. It's real. It's genuine. They have a relationship with Him. And you start teaching them about that. Here we go. Jesus is actually quoting this from Moses. And God tells us this. Folks, this is one of the best parenting advice you'll ever get. The commands. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Well, I put in mind. And these commandments that I give you today are be upon your hearts. Folks, it all starts with the heart. Not just outside. God changes us from the inside out. It's not just change your behavior. Change your heart and your behavior will come along. We think, it's just all about changing me. No, start from the inside. Jesus says, cleanse the inside of the cup. The outside will be just fine. Folks, this all starts, what was David called? The man after the heart of God. That's why I wrote the book, Warrior. It's about
pour them out of your heart. You going to come up and do something for me? Okay. It's up. You going to give me the microphone? Can I take this off my ear? Oh, good.
Let me get this down to short man level here. All right, there we go. All right. Can I hold it like this? All right. Okay, great. All right, unwind me. Okay, there we are, brother. Thank you. Without brothers like this, I will not make it to heaven. Technology assistance. Thank you, brother. These commandments I give you today are be upon your hearts. And your kids know if it's inside daddy and mommy's heart, it's who they really are. Impress them, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you drive to Starbucks, I threw that in there, when you get up, talk about God in and out. Sometimes we only talk about God when the kids are doing wrong. God, let me read you the Bible. No, don't do that. Tell them about God all the time. God should flow in and out of our conversation easily. We bring Him up in the middle of, we're laughing and cutting up, and we say, God, or something goes bad. We say, well, let's think about, what would God say about that? Our kids, I wish I had the videos I played of them. They all shared about how, particularly their mom, in the middle of just normal life would say, well, now, let me tell you what God thinks about that. And it was easy. It wasn't like something weird coming out of the sky. It was, God's a part of my whole life, and I want Him to be a part of your whole life. He's wonderful. You see what I'm saying, parents? Talk about it all the time. Fathers, let me say, sometimes we don't say that much about the Lord. And let's talk about Him in and out easily. Don't even change your tone of voice.
Well, God says.
No. Just talk about it in and out easily, because God is there close to you all the time. Am I making any sense here, everybody? Let's talk about it all the time. When I say all the time, I don't mean 24/7. I mean in and out during the day, praying together at night when we go to bed, singing songs, reading a scripture, quoting a scripture. All our kids, we gave them all scriptures. They memorized them. And it actually, the scriptures did so much better helping them to be better kids than mom and dad telling them. They would get a scripture. Oh, God said to do that. Okay. And by the way, not just negative stuff. Don't just use the Bible negatively for your children. Use it positively. I know I said that like 15 times already. Here we go. All right. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Mom and Dad, that is the most important thing you'll ever do for your kids. The more you love God, and even if your kids know we love God more than anything else, they're not going to feel insecure about that. You know what they're going to realize? That makes you love me more. You love me more because you love God. You love me more. It also means you apologize when you mess up with God. You go up in front of your kid and you say, I'm sorry, I fell short of what Jesus wanted me to do right there, son, daughter. They say, thank you, Jesus. Daddy repented. Thank you. Mommy said she was sorry because they're following Jesus. I want to follow him one day. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. It makes them realize, it humbles you. And when you're not, you, they realize you got a boss too. Oh, that'd be God. Okay. Do not worry. And here's seek first the kingdom. We're going to read the whole thing. Just go to the last three lines. So seek first the kingdom. Folks, put the kingdom of God first in your family. Don't fit the kingdom of God into your family. Fit your family into the kingdom of God. Don't build. I always said Jerry and I didn't build our family. We didn't fit the church into our family. We built our family around the kingdom of God. The church is a part of the kingdom. We didn't just go when we felt like it. We went and attend. They knew mom and dad. They love God, but they also love his people. And we love the church. Oh, amen. Come on. And it made them fall in love with the church too. And I'm not saying it was perfect. We all make mistakes. They had mistakes made with them, and they made mistakes just like mommy and daddy did in the church. But we know how to forgive each other, right, church? That's the difference. The world makes mistakes and hates each other. In the kingdom, we say, oh, and we come to the cross together, and we know how to repent. Okay? All right. Otherwise, we wouldn't have what we have in this room. Okay. Oh, all right. Here we go. I want to talk about husbands and wives. Now, some of you are single parents. By the way, let me say something here before I go any further. We have all made mistakes. Had them. When we were young, they were made to us and by us. We may have had terrible memories from our past. God can forgive that and give you a new life. We've even made them as disciples. I'm not here today to load that all back on you and make you feel bad about yourself. You hear me on that? Sure, we want all our kids to become disciples, but sometimes they may choose not to. They may come back later. We just had a 38-year-old son of one of our future elders who got baptized. You know, it may take a while. Don't feel guilty this morning. Start today. Every day is a new day. Start, say, God, what do you want me to do today? And so don't feel bad. I'm trying to here to lift you up. I hope I'm making sense, okay? All right. Husbands and wives, you know, one of the most, next to loving God, you know who you ought to love most next? Each other. Your kids need to see that. You know, what's that going to do? They make them insecure. You love mommy and you love daddy. You love more than me. Well, when you move out of the house, we're going to be together. So, and not in a negative way, but they know mom and dad are, they're one flesh. We're a product of one flesh. Yeah, you're right. And, but, we are not, mom and dad will be together until they die. We may move away. They may have to move back. But they love each other. What does that mean to you? It makes them more happy, more secure than you can possibly imagine. I said, mommy and daddy love each other. My phone is ringing. Oh, my. It's streaming into my hearing aids. Who's calling me? CVS. I got a drug to pick up when I go home. It's legal. It's legal. I think Chris Towers may have I won't even tell you what it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, CVS, I'm sorry. I'm preaching a sermon right now. I can't talk to you. Okay, hold on. All right, okay. Whoa, see, I want to drop a phone. Okay, that was CVS calling me up. All right. I know, you can say later, Sammy Lang is kind of stupid and crazy. Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead and say it. Okay. If your kids see that mom and dad really love each other, it's going to make them more secure, more happy. You know what? Jerry and I used to hug each other. You know what they would do? They would run in the middle. I said, they wanted to be the cream in the Oreo, you know. They'd come and jump between us in bed. Hey, now we'd lock the door at night. Hey, lock the door. Keep your love life going, families, all right? That's why I wrote Hot and Holy. Ha, 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 yeah. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Okay, shut up. Okay, all right. Heart-to-heart talks. Here we go. That's Journey. Y'all don't know Journey. Okay. Unless you're a Gen Xer. Okay, here we go. Heart-to-heart talks. The purpose of someone's hearts are deep waters, but a person of understanding draws them out. Folks, let's put God first. Let's love each other. Let's love our children. But then let's know how to talk. We wrote Raising Awesome Kids back in the early 90s. And then we added three chapters later, one on technology, one on anxiety and modern life. Modern parents are so much busier than we were. Oh, you guys got frantic schedules. But we also wrote one on heart-to-heart talks. We realize a lot of us don't know how to talk to our kids. Learn how to talk on a heart level, not just talking at them, but talking with them, even when they're 2 and 3 years old. And when they're 7 or 8, or when they're 15 or 16, start it when they're little. What's on your heart, son? What are you thinking about, daughter? And it really will. It'll enable them to know, I can talk to my mom and dad. Kids, don't you want to be able to pour your heart out to your parents? And whether you tell them what you're scared about, or what you're hurt about, or what you're angry about, you got to not scream at your parents, by the way. Learn how to do it respectfully, children, okay? Okay, here's a verse I remember reading to my son. I would love to play the video, but I couldn't do it. It's him. He will tell the story. When he was a teen, we were drifting apart from each other. He was a disciple. We were, and men tend to do that more than women, by the way. We tend to drift apart from each other. More women tend to hang out. Men,
I'm by myself.
You know, let's brothers, let's get together. But he said, we were drifting apart, and I read this verse to him. I said, son, can we talk? We're not close like we used to be. He said, okay, Dad. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes keep to my ways. I said, I want you to know you've got my heart. I'm sorry I haven't been reaching out to you like I needed to. Is there anything I'm doing that's hurting you? Anything? Son, let me tell you what you're doing. And we shared back and forth. And we both opened our hearts to each other, and we rebuilt our relationship. You see what I'm saying? Dads, moms, learn how to talk with your children. Now, we have to talk at them a lot when we're teaching them how to obey and do things, but let's not just do that. Think about Jesus. He says, I've called you my friends because I've told you everything I know. Let's open our hearts up to our kids and learn how to talk. That means sometimes we need to ask a lot of questions before we need to start telling them stuff. Here it is. By the way, Jesus said, you're so busy, let's go hang out together. Take your kids away sometimes. Go for a walk with them. When you're riding in the car, talk heart to heart. Men particularly, you may need to set aside a time once a week. I did it with my daughter, Alexandra. We would go Friday morning on the way to school, and we would talk. It changed our relationship. We're so close now because of that. But we tend to be so busy in the house. You know how it is. TV's on. We're talking. There's a lot going. We're cleaning the house. We're cooking. We're doing stuff. On the phone, put it all down, sit there at dinner, talk to each other. How'd your day go? How you feeling? Here's what happened. It was good today. There's a tough thing that happened. Share your lives. Open your hearts to each other at home. Jesus said, let's go and talk to each other, guys. It's been too busy. Everyone, oh, here we go, parents and kids. Just be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Our anger, people's anger, doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. Isn't it so easy to literally interrupt people? And they say something, or your kids, or even your parents say something, you start interrupt their. Don't let them finish. What do you feel? Tell me all you think. Even ask questions. Well, what else happened? And how did you feel about that? Well, what'd you do about it? What do you think about it? You start asking those kind of questions, parents, to your kids, they're going to tell you. It'll let them open up to you, and you'll know what's inside. I hope this is helping you. I really do. This is some of the most important stuff. I had to learn how to do this. Jerry had to learn how to do it. We didn't know how to do it. We had to learn how to do it after we were parents. I said, Jerry and I are working on 4 PhDs, Elizabeth, David, Jonathan, and Alexandra. They were never awarded. We worked to learn it. Each one of our kids, I said, how do we produce 4 different kids in the same genetic pool? They're all different personalities. You have to work to understand your kids. You really do. They're all different. Oh, my. He who answers before listening. You ever, somebody starts talking, and this is even true, let me say, as disciples in the church, somebody starts talking to you, don't come right back. Let them hear them all out and then say, well, here's what I think God might think, or here's what I feel, or here's what I would say. But, okay, all right.
Be quiet, Sam. Go to your next point. All right. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinion. Just watch TV. You'll see it all happening. Oh. Resolve, repair, forgive. Oh, let's learn how to resolve conflict in our family. It's one of the most important things you ever do. Even between your kids. Now, here's what Jerry and I would do. We would actually, if she were here, she'd do a lot better job explaining this to me. I remember our boys, David, were like 3 and 5 years old, and they were in big argument. We sent them up to their room. Okay, boys, go up and apologize to each other and fix your problem. He said, Sam, you sent a 3 and a 5-year-old? We did that, and then we laid on the floor with our ears by the door to listen.
You're my brother. You hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings. I want to be your brother. I want to be your brother, but you hurt me. You hurt me.
Finally, one of them said, I'm sorry. The other said, well, I am too. And they hugged each other and came out happy. We taught our kids, you go try to fix. If they couldn't, then we would step in and say, all right, what did you do? What did you do? And we would try to be the referee. But we taught them, and we helped them learn how to resolve conflict among yourselves. I wish I had the video for Alexandra and Jonathan, who had the most conflict of any two of our kids. Now they're so close. They learned how to resolve their conflict. We taught them. They worked on it all the time, and we would step in and help and pray with them. Again, I hope I'm making sense. All right. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together and brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Oh, it's a pleasant thing. Let's learn to resolve conflict among our kids and mom and dad, among you too. I led my wife, but nobody apologized in my house more than I did. I made the most mistakes because I had the most responsibility, so I had to get up in front of the family. Kids, I'm sorry what I just said to your mommy. That hurt her feelings. Mommy, I'm sorry. Kids, I'm sorry. When I did that, you know what that did? It made you think, Sam, you probably lost respect. No, it made them trust me more. The more I humbled myself. And I'm not boasting in my humility, God. No, I'm not. I have to be humble because I ought to be humble. I need to be humble. I should be. Okay. How good and pleasant it is. Whoa, get back. Family fabric? Whoa. Okay, there it is. Family fabric. I'm going to go through this. This is building a tapestry of color in your family, of weaving multiple events together and making a beautiful garment of your family. Our schedules these days are so busy. Most husbands and wives work. Kids do stuff after school now. I used to come home at 3 o'clock and I was home the rest of the day. Now, after school, we go places. We got sports. We got this. Now, we had sports, but not. Things have gotten intensified. Folks, let's not let the world around us dictate how we run our schedule. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. The world is going crazy out there. You say, you know what? We don't have to do it your way. We're going to set our own schedule by the Lordship of Christ. Jesus, you know, we're not going to do running around going crazy like everybody else. They may think, why didn't you come to your kids' football game? Oh, my dad never went to one of my peewee football games, and that didn't hurt my feelings. But we nowadays, back in the 50s, it was the way. Now the world has swung the pendulum way over here, and you got to do everything. The truth of the Bible is accurate. Let's not feel like we got to run it the way the world does. Okay, family fabric. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went to the feast according to the custom. What are we learning from this? They had customary worship. They did things that God wanted them to do. They put him first. They had things. I want to encourage you to build a rhythm in your family where you, if you possibly can eat dinner together. Now they've done studies on it. Kids that eat dinner together with their families most evenings are less likely to fail in school. They're less likely to do drugs. They're less likely to be sexually immoral just because they eat dinner with their families. We did that. I'm in the ministry. I decided I'm not going to let even the ministry pull me away from my family. Somebody else can lead this church, but I'm the only daddy they got. I'm the only husband she's got. So I love God. I love his church, but I'm going to be with my family when I'm at dinner. And Jerry would often lean over while at dinner and say, you're not here. I'm like, oh, I was worrying about the church. Okay, shake it off, Sam. Hey, kids, how y'all doing? That's how my wife helped me. She was sweet about it, but she helped me to be a better father than I would have been. I'd have been so worried. Kay and Buck saw me worrying all weekend about this speech up here. Okay, here we go. All right. He went to Nazareth. He went to the synagogue, as was his custom. Get your kids where they love being at church. It's their family. Help them resolve conflicts, even in Kingdom Kids. Yes, and even in the teen ministry. It will happen, but you can don't walk out. Solve it by the blood and grace of Christ, by the cross of Christ. It can be resolved. Okay, faith, fun, and laughter. Oh, eat your food with joy. Drink your, whoops, some of you shouldn't drink any wine with a happy heart, but some of us can. But God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white. No, let them be bright. Don't spare your precious ointment on your head. Enjoy life with your beloved wife during the days of your fleeting life. Have a good time. Have fun. Folks, let's have fun with our families. Have fun. Party. Yahoo. Yeah, laugh. Play. We made up games that were cheap. You know, we kicked the ball around the house. We threw stuff in the garbage can from all across the room. I was rawr. I was the monster that would chase the kids. Ha! You know, and they would tackle me and knock me down. Okay. Oh, here we go. Last, I'm about to close out. No applause, please. I'm going to let you eat. But let's deal with our own weaknesses. And as parents, and husbands and wives, let's... You know what I finally figured out? I'm a minister and an elder trying to help the whole church change and grow. But I realized, you know what, Sam? There's really only one person in life you can actually change. You. Now, do I want to help people? That's why I wrote the new book, Seven People Who Help You to Heaven. God's imperfect plan, perfect plan, one imperfect person helping another imperfect person. Do we need to help? Yes. But, you know, there's ultimately, you have to take up your own cross and follow Christ. Somebody else can't throw it on your back and make you take it. You can't throw. You can only live. You got to deal with you. So let's all understand our weaknesses. Let's deal with them. Let's know we're saved by grace and God will help us grow. But let's deal with them. And, I forgot to play the love song I was going to play about Jerry. Girl, you are to me all that a woman should be. Okay, that's another time. Steve and Deb always sing that. I went right by it on the screen. I was supposed to do it. Oh, I forgot. All right, here we go.
I'm in a hurry.
No, that's not it. Although that's it. I'm in a hurry to get things done. All right. I rush and rush till life's no fun. All we got to do is live and die. I'm in a hurry and don't know why. That's Alabama, but now I'm going to Michael Jackson. Okay. All right. Don't look at the mirror. Know who you are. Know your old self, but know the new self. That's your real self, not the old sinful self. That's not the real you. The real you is not your sinful self. The real you is your godly self. You may be tempted to do wrong, but that doesn't mean that's who you really are. Jesus was tempted just like you, but that doesn't mean that's who he was. He walked away from it. Don't think because you're tempted, and even you've made mistakes, that's who you really are. You really are in the image of God, the way Jesus and God want you to be. That's the real you. Okay, you with me there? All right, here we go. Let's see if I can. I'm starting with the man. All right, I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to go crazy up here. All right. Start with changing ourself, and that'll help our kids. I'll act like I'm singing.
I'm going to make a change for once in my life.
One of my favorite singers of all time.
It's going to feel real good. Going to make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind.
About to come to the chorus.
I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A son of disregard.
Here we come.
Change.
You thought I was done? I know. I shouldn't do this. I'll feel guilty driving home today, but I'm going to play more, Michael. Okay, here we go. Because the women come in now. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself. I'm too old to be fired now for doing that in front of the church, so. That's on. That's on my Sam's favorite rock playlist, by the way. I got so many on there. Okay, keep on changing, everybody. I'm done. I'm about to finish here. All done. I always end dramatically. Goodbye. It was good being with you. Thanks for letting me be here.